Talking about the cross. Today we're going to talk about the temptations of Jesus. The text will be from Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. Today I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory. For it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. As I say, I want to talk about the temptations of Christ this morning. To begin with, I want to establish a foundation. Who is Jesus? Now, some say that He is God and therefore cannot be tempted with sin. Some say He was man and could be tempted. If He is God who cannot be tempted with sin, then these temptations would have even been necessary. Now, my professor in one of my Bible college classes threw this question out. He said, "Could Jesus have sinned?" You want to watch something interesting, get about 15, 20 preachers together and ask a question like that. It was probably 30 minutes before the professor could interject because he very wisely sat and let everybody around the table that wanted to speak their opinions. I just talked to a man Thursday who said, "I don't believe that Jesus is God because when he was on the cross, who was he praying to? Himself?" I said, "Well, I'd be glad to talk to you about that." Evidently, he didn't want to talk about it right there and then because that was the end of the conversation. Why does it matter? Somebody would ask, does it matter? If you want to believe Jesus is God, that's okay. If I want to believe He's just a man, that's fine. You know, what's it matter whether He was God or man? It makes all the difference in the world. And we're going to be talking these next 6 weeks about the man Jesus, the Christ. You know, we say His name Jesus Christ, and Christ isn't His last name. That's how we say it. His title is the Christ, the Anointed. I believe in the Hebrew it was pronounced Yeshua Yamashia, Jesus, the Anointed One. Why is it important if He was man, or if He was God, or if He was both? Because our salvation hinges on this. Okay? If Jesus was just man, then was He born sinful? If He was, that disqualifies Him from being the sacrifice for sin. But if Jesus was God, can God be tempted with sin? No. The Bible says that. God cannot be tempted with sin, and He will not tempt anyone with sin. Well, now I'm confused. I've heard all my life that Jesus is God. We're going to go, as we do, and see what the Word says. In John 1:1, the Bible teaches that Jesus is God. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." One Greek commentary I read said that the tense here in the Greek is in the emphatic tense, and it can be translated, "The Word was God Himself." That's how we'd say it today. Or, "The Word Himself was God. So John the Apostle, there was no doubt in his mind when he sat and penned these words. And when you start reading about church history and understand what's going on when John's writing this, John did that on purpose. Because there were people in the church coming up from different pagan backgrounds saying, Jesus isn't God. Jesus can't be God. The Muslims say that today. Jesus can't be God's Son. God's one. He can't have a Son. A lot of the Jews in Jesus' day said the same thing. You can't be God's Son. Because that makes you equal with God. So John sat down and put pen to paper and he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God Himself. John did not want the church, the first century church, to have any doubt about who Jesus was. Well, then Jesus is God. Yes. The Bible also teaches that God became a man. In verse 14 of John chapter 1, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, who was the Word? God. The Bible just says the Word was God Himself. So, when John says, and the Word became flesh, we can, without any danger of misinterpretation or mistranslating or transliterating, we can put in there, and God Himself became a man. That's what John said. And God Himself became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the one only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've been singing about grace all morning. John said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. John said Jesus was in the very heart of the Father. No one has ever seen God but God, the one and only. Go home and read the Gospel of John this week. John puts more plugs in for the deity of Jesus Christ than any of the other writers. Matthew likes to talk a lot about His humanity. That's not wrong. So, the Bible says Jesus is God. Always has been, always will be. He didn't become God, He is God. But the Bible says that God became a man. The Bible also teaches that God, the Word, became Jesus, the man who then became God's Son. I remember a lady in the Nazarene church got very offended with me about that one time. And I said, if you read the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Luke, Luke takes it all the way back to Adam, who says, and Adam who was the Son of God. Yeah, but Adam's not the Son of God. Yes, he is. No, he's not the Son of God like Jesus. I said, read it right there in Luke. It says, Adam, who was the Son of God. I said, who is Adam's daddy? Well, God made him out of the dirt. Well, who is his mommy? Oh, the Mother Earth. No, God was his mother. God was his father. I hate that term, Mother Nature. I'm going to get off track a little bit. I was watching a nature show with my wife the other day, and they said, Mother Nature. I turned around and said, I hate that term. That deifies a feminine deity. That comes out of Greek philosophy and Roman philosophy and religion is pagan. There ain't Mother Nature, it's God. Why do we have such trouble saying that? Okay, I'll get off my box and get back over where I was. God became Jesus, the man who became His Son. This further offended the woman. I said, who do you think He was in eternity past? Well, He was the Son of God. I said, the Bible doesn't teach that. Oh, boy, you know, I was their associate, and she's thinking, oh, boy, we have really messed up putting you in this position. I said, let me explain it to you. Jesus was not the Son of God in eternity past. He was God Himself, who became a man. All man. A man. She said, well, He was half man, half God. No, you can't be half man, half God. You're either all man and all God, or you're all man or all God. You can't be half and half. You know, Jesus was not the least bit confused about who He was. We're the ones that have a problem with it. The writer of Hebrews quotes from the Psalms. And he says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my Son. Today I've begotten you. So somewhere in time, God the Word, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost sat down and planned salvation. And God the Father said to God the Word, here's my plan. You're going to become a man. Now, becoming a man made him lower than the angels. If you read the Bible, it says we're made lower than the angels. So God became lower than the angels. Philippians says, being found in the form of a servant, he humbled himself. Do you know that God emptied himself of all of his rights as deity? Could they have driven nails in God's hands if he didn't let them? Could they have spit on him and beat him with whips? There's times we read that the people, before God determined it was time, they tried to stone Jesus. They couldn't lay a hand on him. Said he'd just walk away. They tried to throw him over a cliff one time. Said he just walked out. They couldn't touch him. I love the story in the garden when they come to get him and Jesus come out and says, who are you looking for? Jesus! Now the King James says, I am he. He's in italics. You know why? Because it wasn't in the transcript. The translators added he because they wanted to try to clarify what Jesus was saying. You don't have to clarify it. He said, I am. Bam! They fell down. They get back up and Jesus said, I asked you, who are you looking for? Jesus, I am. Bam! I'd have stayed down the second time. I'd have said, I'm just going to stay here till this is all done. He said, I am. When God spoke to Moses in the bush and Moses said, who am I going to tell Israel sent me? God said, I am. So I am became a man. And God said, now you're my son. Just like Adam was. Oh, but that takes away from his deity. It doesn't take away one thing. It just beautifies the gospel story to me that God would empty himself and take on the form of a slave. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:14 and 15, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through their fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Why does it matter if you believe Jesus is God or if you believe Jesus is man, as long as you believe in Jesus? Well, the Mormons believe in Jesus. I had two Mormons come to my house one time and I said, well, I'm a Christian and I'm not interested in your doctrine. They said, well, praise God, we're Christians too. I said, really? Yeah, we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We believe in being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, really? I didn't know that. Well, I said, who is Jesus? Well, he was Lucifer's brother. Just one of many spirit children of God. And he came up with a better salvation plan than Lucifer, and Lucifer got mad and left heaven. I said, boy, Joseph Smith pulled the wool over your eyes. They said, well, we're brothers. I said, no, we're not. You got a different daddy than I do. They said, well, have you ever prayed and asked God to open your eyes? I said, done that 20 years ago. And he did, and he told me, you guys are false prophets. Now, they were very gracious. Well, you know, you're allowed to think what you want. It's very important who Jesus is. Jehovah's Witness. Same deal. I've talked to them. Well, we believe Jesus came and died for our sins. And you know what? I've had Christians tell me, well, that makes them Christians. No, it doesn't. Ask him who Jesus is. Well, we believe he was Michael the archangel who became a man. The writer of Hebrews said it wasn't angels that he came to save. Did you get that? It wasn't angels that God sent his son to save. It was men. So he had to become a man in order to save man. Why? Because death entered the world and sin through a man, Adam. Righteousness had to come through a man. That's justice. God said, man screwed it up, man's got to fix it. Yeah, but nobody could fix it. God's man could. Okay? So the Word of God became Jesus, who became the Son, who became our kinsman redeemer, and He understands exactly how you and I feel. How do I know that? Because in Hebrews 2, verse 18, it says, because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He's able to help those who are being tempted. So, This was my answer to my professor's question. Could Jesus have sinned? Yeah. Adam sinned. Wasn't a nature of sin around. You know, Nazarene College professor didn't like hearing that too much. I said, think about it, professor. There wasn't a nature of sin involved. There was just a choice. I said, Jesus could have chose to sin. Or why would Satan have wasted his time? It would have been a waste of time. And I said, the reason I'm convinced of that is Hebrews 2:18. Because he suffered when he was tempted. If he couldn't be tempted, he wouldn't have suffered. He'd have looked at Satan and said, what are you doing? You can't tempt me. Don't you know I'm the Word? I'm God. You can't tempt me. God can't be tempted with sin. Man can. Now, he didn't quit being God. Don't take me wrong. I'm not trying to take it away from the deity. But God sent His Son to redeem man, and He had to become man in every aspect. He suffered. How many of you ever been hungry? How many of you ever went without eating for 40 days hungry? The first temptation that we talk about, that we read about, said he was in the desert for 40 days being tempted of the devil. You know, you can read right over that sometimes and not understand what that says. Jesus didn't get just tempted 3 times in 40 days. He was tempted day in and day out for 40 days. And God didn't see fit to write down the rest of His temptations. But He's sending 3 to us today to show us that Jesus has been tempted every way you have, yet He never sinned. What would have happened if Satan could have tripped Jesus up and he would have sinned? You and I might as well be at Table Rock Lake bass fishing or at a lodge meeting or just doing something else on Sunday because we'd still be in our sin. We'd be dead. Wouldn't be any reason to be here. We wouldn't have anything to sing about and celebrate. It said after 40 days, Jesus was hungry. I can imagine. I go 40 minutes without eating and I get a little hungry. You know, I can't imagine fasting for 40 days. I thought about it. One of the main men who founded Campus Crusade for Christ, if I remember reading, I read about it in Bible college, fasted for 30 or 35 days and prayed and said, God, show me what you want me to do. And God gave birth to the Campus Crusaders ministry. That's commitment. Satan tried to tempt Jesus to break his fast and his commitment. Let me explain something about a fast. You know, how long do I got to fast to get God's attention? There's no set time. It's not the length of time that you fast. It's the reason you fast. What's the motivation? Because Israel used to fast. Some of the Pharisees fasted twice a week, and Jesus rebuked them for it. He said, oh, you love to disfigure your faces and walk around looking like you're fasting. So people go, oh, look how religious they are. They're fasting. A fast, a true fast, is when you say, I am going to seek Your face, God, and I'm not going to let the telephone get in the way. I'm not going to let stopping to eat get in my way. I'm not going to let the television be in my way. I'm not going to let my family get in my way. I am going to seek Your face. You know what it is? And God likes this. You get in God's face and say, I ain't leaving until I get an answer. I need to talk to You. I need direction. And I'm not going to shut up till You tell me what I want to know. God goes, oh, okay. You'll find me when you seek me how? With all your heart. Jesus was getting ready to enter into the ministry that God had laid out for him, and he went and fasted. He spent 40 days in the desert with the wild animals by himself, praying. Hebrews sheds light on that. Said even though he was God's Son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and he offered up prayers with crying and strong tears. God the Word became Jesus the man, the Son, who had to 100% totally depend on God the Father. That was the temptation to break the fast. Of course he was hungry. Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Satan today might say, you don't have to be that saved, do you? You don't have to be that committed. You don't have to be a religious fanatic. My goodness, ease up a little bit. You know, why are you still praying? Maybe God said no. You ever thought about that? Anything He can do to get between you and the Lord, because it scares Him to death when the answer comes. The closer you get to God, the harder it is for Him to pull you back when you really get close to God. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to leave here and fast for 40 days. You want to do that, you do it. Drink plenty of fluids and don't eat. But you can fast for 40 days and have a heart just as hard as a millstone, and all you did was go hungry. You can fast for 3 days and get an answer. See, God looks at the heart. He knows why you're not doing it. You don't have to fast just food. You can fast the television. You can fast riding your motorcycle. Man. I don't do that because I talk to God when I'm on my bike. People say, you better be talking to God when you're on a motorcycle. Yeah. I learned not to close my eyes when I pray, though, because that's kind of weird. You're in this lane and you open your eyes, you're over here. No, I hope you know I'm not that stupid. Satan tempted Jesus to break off the commitment he had made. That's the temptation. Have you ever been tempted like that? Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I think most people in here could say, yeah. There's been times in my life when times got tough that I had that temptation, just quit. Just walk away. So you see, Jesus understands how that feels. Next, He tempted Jesus with power and authority. Now, some of us, that wouldn't be a temptation. I don't want to be in the limelight. Mom used to say that all the time. I don't want to be in the limelight. I want to serve in the church, but I don't want to be in the limelight. She liked cooking food and taking it to people and talking to them one-on-one, visiting with them. That was her ministry. She liked helping with the funeral dinners here or the fellowship dinners. So Satan couldn't have tempted her with being in the limelight. She just said, well, I don't want that. You know, leave me alone. I want to be in the limelight. We talked in Sunday school this morning about being careful not to do good things so people can see you doing it. Jesus said that's the only reward you're going to get. So Satan comes to Jesus. It says, He took Him up and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to Him, to You I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to Me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship Me, it will all be yours. Now, I've heard people say Satan didn't have any right to make that claim. Did you notice Jesus never argued? Jesus didn't come back and say, wait a minute, that's not yours. The earth is the Lord's. But He calls Satan the god of this world. Satan could offer that. But if you don't know this yet, Christian, especially Christian young people, anything Satan offers you lasts about that long. Yeah. Now, He's talking to the Son of God, and He says, look, I own all this power and authority. I give it to anyone I want to. Well, wait, the Bible says God's the one that puts people in power and takes people out of power. Yeah. But Satan says, I can give you their glory. All you got to do is worship Me. Now, the Father had already promised to give Jesus all this authority. He says in Psalms 2, verses 8 and 9, ask of Me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter vessel. That's authority. Psalms, Jesus preached a lot and quoted the Psalms a lot. David was a prophet. He was a messianic prophet who saw a lot about Messiah. David's the one that prophesied through the Holy Spirit that God said to God the Word, you're My Son. Today I have begotten You. I've become Your Father. And now David, through the Holy Spirit, writes that God says, you ask Me, and I'll give you the ends of the earth. But it didn't stop there. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah, the Son, said, after He has suffered, He will see the light of life and be satisfied. How many of you know Satan knows the Word? If you don't, let me fill you in. He knows the Bible from cover to cover. He can quote it better than anybody in this room. He's a very intelligent being. He's not stupid. God didn't do salvation's work in a corner. Satan knew what he was playing for here. The souls of mankind. Satan was offering him a shortcut. You don't have to go to the cross. See, Jesus knew because God told him and then told Isaiah to write it down. God said, after you've suffered, you'll see the light of life. I don't like that kind of preaching. Tell me how I can speak positive the Word of God and God's just bound when I speak positive. I heard that preaching on TV this morning. I actually sat through a whole hour of it. Well, 30 minutes of it. I couldn't handle the other 30, but I made myself sit and listen. You speak blessings on your possessions. You speak blessings on your family, and God has to run to meet that. So being a Christian is just you get your own little way, you dear heart. God the Father said to God the Son, I'm going to give you all the authorities of the nations after you suffer. Because this is how it is, son. You have to suffer. You have to go to the cross for this wicked, sinful people. But if you do that, I'm going to give you all the authority of the nations. So what did Satan do? You don't have to go to the cross. I'll give it to you. What if Jesus would have bowed the knee? Just theoretically, hypothetically speaking, would he have got the authority? How long till he died? I know that's just blowing some of your theological clickers away. Jesus couldn't die. He died on the cross, didn't he? Yeah. If Jesus would have said, I kind of like that. No cross, but I get the crown. You ever been tempted like that? It doesn't matter how you live, Christian. God understands. You'll still get the crown. Or you won't get all your rewards when you go to heaven, but you're still going to heaven. Satan knew the course laid out for the Savior, and he said, look, Jesus, you don't have to go this way. Who is Satan talking to? We talked about it earlier in the year. He's talking to the one that God said is going to crush your head. Now, if I looked at one of you men and said, after church, I'm going to crush your head. And you thought I was able to do it, what are you going to do? You're going to try to find some way to get out of it. Or make me fight your wife. You know. But you're going to try to get out of it. You're going to try to talk me out of it. What's Satan doing here? He's trying to talk Jesus out of crushing his head. He knows what God has said. He knows that this is the guy that's going to defeat me if I can get him to sin, if I can get him to do the shortcut like I did Adam, then I don't have anything to worry about. You know, did Satan care about Jesus suffering on the cross? No, he doesn't care when you suffer. Doesn't affect him one bit. Does God care? He sure does. He cares so much that the Bible says, because we are partakers of flesh and blood, His Son became a partaker of flesh and blood. He cares so much about our pain that He's experienced it. So the Bible says He's a faithful high priest who can have compassion on us because He knows exactly how we feel. Has the devil ever tempted you, Christian, to take the shortcut? Yeah. Thank you for one honest man. About everybody in this room should have said, yeah. If you can't say yeah, then you better get real and start living for the Lord. Because when you say, God, not my way, but yours, Satan's going to jump up and say, wait a minute now, have I got a deal for you? You don't have to go through all that. You don't have to be that radical of a Christian. You don't have to be that saved. I got told that after I came to the Lord. Boy, I was praying for salvation, but I didn't think you'd get that saved. What's that saved? One lady in a Baptist church said, you are such a radical man, God just had to save you radically. But don't make us feel bad because we're not as radical as you are. I told her one day, you need to get saved. I only know God doing things one way, all the way. And God told the Son, look, you got to go to the cross and suffer, but when you do that, you will see the light of life again. He was talking about the resurrection of the dead, and He said, you'll be satisfied. And Don read it this morning. He said, and He'll sprinkle many nations with His blood. You better be glad Jesus was radical. You better be glad He was committed. You better be glad he didn't take the shortcut. Jesus responded to Satan again with the word. Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." That means if the Lord your God is, if it's His will and He's determined that you're going to suffer trials, the song the girls sang, then that means you say, "Your will be done." Because God will allow you to go through tests and trials so He doesn't have to judge you with the world. God will show you what's really in you. I'm here to tell you, that's what tests do. Another word for temptation is test. It doesn't just mean that He was tempted to sin. It means He was tested. The devil said, "Let's see if you're really who you are. Let's see if you're really committed to God the way you claim you are. Let's see if you're really willing to go all the way with this." And He does it today. And sometimes God allows things to come in our life that just blow us away. And we're like, "God, what are you doing?" And God says, "I love you. That's why I'm doing this." The Bible says He disciplines those He loves. So sometimes God lets tests come on you to spank you spiritually. He takes you to the woodshed spiritually and says, "Man, we got to beat this out of you." Now, are you going to submit to the discipline and let God have His way in His life, your life? Or are you going to close your eyes and harden up and say, "You ain't doing that to me"? I'm reading a book called Not a Fan, written by the teaching pastor at that Christian church in Kentucky. I recommend it to anybody in this room. He said there's two kind of people: fans of Jesus, followers of Jesus. Jesus was a follower of the Father. And the devil said, "You don't have to suffer. You don't have to go to the cross. I'll give you this." Jesus said, "No, I'm going to worship God. No matter what happens, I'm going to worship God." Remember what Job said when they come and said, "All your riches are gone, your servants are gone, your kids are dead." And Job said, "I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave the same way. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Bible says, and Job did not sin by charging God foolishly. Job didn't say, "I got it all figured out. Theologically, I got this figured out, hammered down, I'm going to write a book. Y'all just be waiting, I'm going to write this book on why God let this happen." No, he didn't understand what was going on, but he just said, "Okay, God's God." Then Satan tempts Jesus to test God. You see, Jesus responds with a word both times. Satan goes, "Okay, you want to play that way? I know the word." So he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Now, the King James, some of the other translations say the highest pinnacle, and I've read that where that point of the temple was, it was on a mound, on a pile of rocks, big rocks, that it was about 250 feet to the ground. And he stands him up there and he says, "If you're God's son," he loves to use doubt, "if you're really God's son, step off of here. Jump." "For it is written," Satan says, I can quote the word too, "He will command His angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Let's see if God will do it. I can see the devil going, "Jump. Come on, go ahead and jump. Let's see if God will send them angels to protect you." This morning, I was watching a newscast. You know, we had them terrible storms coming through here. Well, boy, they just kept building when they went south. One lady was filming this tornado. And the newscaster kind of made a little tongue-in-cheek mention, she's praying. It wasn't just prayer. She was standing there rebuking the tornado in the name of Jesus and commanding that tornado to turn away from the city and from her house. And the newscaster said the tornado went right down Main Street. Now, I look at that as a form of testing God. I burned up a lot of brain cells, but I got enough sense to know if I've seen an EF4 tornado drop out of the sky, I'm not going to stand there and talk to it. I'm going to the cellar. If I'd have filmed it, they'd have been hearing, every man for himself! Run, run! I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Did it work? Don't test God. Jesus Jesus stayed focused. He answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." You know where we get in trouble as Christians sometimes when we're in temptations and trials is we think we have to defend God. When Satan or when an unbeliever approaches us and starts really running God down, we think it's our job to try to defend God, and we end up just making it worse. And sometimes we come out looking like idiots, especially when we say, "Well, I know it says somewhere in the Bible." If that's your best apologetics, keep your mouth shut. That's always bothered. "Well, I know it says somewhere in the Bible. I've read it somewhere." Well, read it again. Jesus stayed focused. You know why He answered with the Word? He believed the Word. Not that it was some magic potion that He'd throw out there and it'd repel Satan. He was saying, "This is what God says. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and this is what I'm going to do." You have the power to resist Satan. It's called your will. Now, am I saying that alone? No. He said Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I'll empower you to be my witnesses." When he's standing there quoting the Word of God, that's not some magic potion. He's just saying, "This is what God says and this is what I believe." That's faith. "Well, you don't have to go to the cross. I'll give you the crown." "No, God said I got the crown. And after I go to the cross..." I wonder what the devil did when Jesus was raised and he stepped up before the 11 and said, "All power has been given to me on heaven and earth. Now you go." How long does that power last? Forever and ever and ever. The Bible says there's no end to that kingdom. See, what Satan offers you is about this long. What God offers is eternal. Yeah. Satan, the name Satan means adversary, enemy. He hates everything about you. You're made in the image of God. He knows the promises of God. He understands how salvation works. He knows the power of the cross of Christ because he's seen the lives changed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he has every right to test you if he wishes. Now, the Bible says God won't allow you to be tested above what you can stand. And I read one time Mother Teresa said, "Sometimes I wish he didn't trust me so much." Maybe you feel that way, but understand something, Christian. No matter what trial you're going through, God trusts you. Because He's not allowing anything more than you can take. Do you trust Him? That's where Satan wins the battles. "Well, if God really loved you, if you was really a Christian, you know, if God really cared..." Jesus said in the last days, because iniquity would abound, that means it's all over the place. He said the love of most will grow cold. Who's He talking about the most? His people. His professed church. He said it will grow cold. They'll be offended and they'll walk away. Where are you at this morning? Now, I doubt any of us will ever be tempted to the extent that our Lord was. But understand something, no matter what kind of trials you're going through today, He knows exactly how you feel. And my Bible says you can come into the throne of room of grace boldly for help. There's another thing Satan lied to you about. "Oh, God doesn't care. If he cared, why would He let this happen to you?" You know what you need to tell Him? "Shut up and get out of my face, man. God does care." And go to God on the authority of His Word. Not name it and claim it, just on the authority of His Word. "Lord, I know You know how I feel. I feel pretty lousy right now. I'm pretty ticked off at You, actually. But God, I need help." And He said He'll give it. Why don't you stand?